around the line of scrimmage. Romo on the shotgun. Here's the snap. Romo looking, dumps it off right side. Intercepted! Intercepted at the goal line by Woodson. And there is your dagger! Right through the star of the Dallas Cowboy helmet.
The Ballard Studios in Inwood, Manhattan. Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants Live, brought to you by Cheesehead Nation. I'm Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. And behind the scenes, on the live blog, and with us for our weekly look at special teams is Mr. Brian Caravu of Railbird Central. Big thanks, as always, to Brian and everybody who joins us on the live blog. Why don't you tell us what's on tap tonight, Corey?
On the live blog, we are joined by featured guest blogger Styx, a weekly contributor to The Daily Drink over at sportsbubbler.com. But right now, joining us on the phone live is Mr. Bill Huber of Packer Report Magazine and PackerReport.com.
How are you tonight, Bill?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. You know, I mentioned it this morning when I put up the post about the show, but I got to say, thank you so much for A, acknowledging our existence, and B, saying hello to us at FanFest. You were the only member of the media to give us the time of day, and it really meant a lot.
Hey, no problem. Appreciate the invite.
Without question. I mean, you're there in the thick of it. You know, before we dive right in and talk, you know, the Packers and the team and whatnot, I want to talk a little bit about you. How did you come about in this position, really? I mean, I think anybody who's a real serious Packer fan knows the Packer Report was started by Ray Nitschke all those years ago. How did you come to land this gig?
Well, Todd Korth ran it for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, and I worked part-time for Todd for a while, and Todd wanted a new opportunity, and he offered me the job, and I said, you know, first I'd be stupid not to. I mean, it's the Packers and all. So, yeah, I obviously pounced on that pretty quick.
And how long have you been doing it now?
Well, I've been running the show for about 14 or 15 months now, and just doing it. And I've been affiliated with them back in 97, the second Super Bowl season.
Oh, wow. Well, it's just fantastic work, I got to say. I don't think it gets the recognition that it deserves, but it is just lights out, some of the best stuff on the Packers out there. So, like I said, we're just incredibly happy to have you on. And let's dive right in. Every week, we got an army of diehards here waiting for a word on the pack. Coming off a big win. Did you see that coming, or was Sunday kind of a complete surprise for you?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, I make my weekly prediction every week, and I pick the Packers to win.
Hey, there you go.
I prefaced it by saying that there's no reason to pick the Packers to win. So I just thought it was one of those things that the Packers, you know, it was a team against the wall. You know, it's a cliche and all, but the Packers were a desperate team, and Dallas had just come off a win over Philadelphia, and they had Washington coming up, and, you know, the history with Wade Phillips and Tony Romo, you know, they things sometimes get too good for them, and they can't handle it. So I picked the Packers just for that reason. Lame as it was, I ended up getting it right. So.
Well, you know, you did indeed. And, you know, we had a lot of people on last week who were very despondent, you know, looking at Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson and not very happy. What do you think this does for McCarthy, you know, the rest of the year? Obviously, last week, the calls for his job were loud and plentiful. Does this, you know, buy him the rest of the season, or is he pretty much on a week-to-week basis with Packer Nation, do you think?
Well, geez, among Packer Nation, I got two or three emails today saying that they should still fire McCarthy. So, he got, you know, he's not going anywhere this year. I mean, I know the Bills got rid of Jaron today, but,
right,
you know, he's not going to go anywhere this year. I don't think he's safe, and I think him and Thompson are kind of joined at the hip. I mean, they have to get something going here. Not to say the obvious, but, you know, just you guys talk to people. There's just so many bad vibes. You know, it dates back to Favre, but
so many bad vibes.
Wonder that if they don't get the season turned around, maybe they just have to make a move just to cleanse the palate, so to speak.
But you nailed it kind of on the head. It's like, on one hand, you don't want to be making moves just to make moves, and I don't think that's Thompson's MO, but you got to think if they have another 6-10, 7-9 kind of season that the calls will get even louder. But not to dwell on the negative, let's dwell on the positive. There were lots of them coming out of Sunday. What did you think? Obviously Woodson's getting a lot of the publicity, but the linebacking core, was anybody, surprised to you there? Or, who really stood out for you from the linebackers as far as, not just blitzing, but in coverage? And there's obviously Jones. And what did you see from that group on Sunday?
I think Nick Barnett has really, really picked it up for the last month or so. I think he's playing tremendous. I mean, he's of all their linebackers, inside or outside, he's their best pass rusher by a mile. And they got a lot of mileage out of that last week in those cross blitzes with him and Hawk. I think Barnett is really playing well. In fact, he's going to be the not to plug the magazine and all, but he's going to be the cover story for next month's magazine. Just the way he's involved in the ACL, and I mean, he's really playing great. He's got 3 sacks. I think he's got 5 pass breakups over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah,
you look at AJ Hawk too. I mean, we were talking to Winston Moss on Monday, talking to Winston Moss about AJ. He's like, we said, what's up with AJ? He's playing so much better, and he said he thinks AJ's just taking the criticism to heart. And AJ thought, I'm sure you guys have heard things too. Where's AJ? Where's AJ? And I think AJ stepped up his play in that regard. I think he's less worried about making a mistake and really a little bit more full barrel into his role.
Absolutely. And for those of you joining us on the live blog or even listening on the podcast, Bill, the interview with Winston Moss that he's referencing, I think Greg Bedard actually posted something on his blog. You can all go read it there. Like Bill said, he's going to have, his cover boy there. You got to check out the magazine. If you haven't yet, definitely check it out. It is, without question, some of the best coverage. And I hear a good friend of ours, Sigmund Bloom of Draft Guys. He loves your coverage. We had him on in preseason, obviously, after the draft, to get his breakdown on all the players. But, he was saying how great your coverage was over this offseason. And I couldn't agree more. It's fantastic. It really is.
Well, appreciate that. It's a full-time thing, and everybody loves the draft. And I think, we're part of scout.com, and as the word scout would say, we cover the draft every week. We got our draft guy, Chris Stieber from Scout. He lets us know where the Packers are going to be every week. So every week we got a story about the Packers are scouting this game, scouting that game. Here's the guys to look out for. So
that is
great.
Get
that hard all year long, just not in April.
Exactly. And that's what diehards want. And that's what we're all about here.
Bill, we have a question from Kim. The way the defense played against the Cowboys, does it seem to you that they feel more comfortable in the scheme?
Well, I think that's partly true. I mean, we talked to Capers on Monday, too, about, is this the way they're going to play with a lot more blitzing? And, maybe he's just downplaying it all, but he says that it's a week-to-week thing, and they saw something with the Cowboys that they didn't figure that their big – man, their line is really big.
Right.
And they didn't think that their big lineman could handle the Packers' speed. And so that's why they ran a lot of those inside blitzes with Hawk and Barnett. The Cowboys just couldn't pick that up. So,
well, and you saw a little bit of that. You saw a little bit of that with Matthews on the outside against Adams, too. I mean, he just blew by him.
Yeah, way too fast. I mean, Fultz, I think he's officially 320, but he's 360 at least.
Right. Switching the script a little bit here on the offensive side, as great as everything was on defense, we saw a lot of the same stuff on offense. We saw, 4 sacks. We saw tons of penalties, a half that went almost the entire way without points. Were there any positives that you took away from that game? I mean, I guess we saw the return of the short passing game, but was there anything else that, that really jumped out at you that, hey, this is where they improved, or was it kind of just, the same old, same old?
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it was same old, same old. And I think, they smartly went to the short passing game because of, the Cowboys had so many good pass rushers. And I think you have to give the Rodgers some credit just for playing it safe. He played within the scheme. He didn't. He throws a great long ball, and he didn't throw any last week, so I guess you got to give him credit for that. But
right.
Boy, what a mess! And here we are. We're going to be into the 10th game of the season. Who's the right tackle? I mean, they don't know. I mean, is it going to be Kelsher? Is it going to be Lang? You know, can your left tackle hold up? Mm-hmm. You know, what's up with Darren College?
Well, that's a good question.
It's a mess.
That's a good question. If you're in charge of the offensive line, and McCarthy, you know, obviously completely dodged this on Monday, but what do you do there? I mean, if you've got Tauscher back and he's healthy enough to play, do you seriously look at putting Lang at his third position this year and putting him in there for College, who has just been miserable? I mean, he was probably arguably their best lineman last year, and this year he has just been awful. I mean, just a completely inconsistent. But do you really... again, move things around? Or do you just, you know, if Tauscher comes in, do you sit Lang, who's, I got to say, has earned a spot? I mean, who knows where it is at this point, but he's earned the right to play. He's played well. He had a rough start on Sunday, but he played well as the game went on. What do you do there?
Well, I don't, let's say Tauscher's back this week, just for argument's sake. You know, when he came back for Tampa Bay, they were rotating him in Barber because, you know, right. This is basically Tauscher's preseason. So I think, at least for now, if Tauscher's back, I would assume you'll see Tauscher and Lang every two series. Just, you know, like I said, Tauscher's been at this for a month. You may have to sort of ease him into things.
Right.
But let's say Tauscher's healthy in 3 weeks. Yeah, I mean, boy, I mean, how can you, unless College gets his head out of his you-know-what, I like Darren. He's a really quality guy.
Oh, he comes across great. Yeah.
He's not playing, and TJ is playing. And I think if in 3 weeks comes, Tauscher's ready to roll, Lang is playing well, I think you got to make a change. And if it's week 13, so be it. I mean,
right.
You got to.
Right. I mean, it's just shocking to me. And Corey's a longtime College hater, so he's all about that. But I defended him last year, and I thought he played really well, but this year I don't understand. It's so inconsistent, and it's simple stuff. I mean, is it as simple as, you know, the guy next to him being in and out so much? I mean, it's been very inconsistent. You know, you've had two different centers in and out all year. You've had two different left tackles in and out all year. He's played left tackle. I mean, is that the excuse, or what do you think it is with College?
Boy, if I knew, I would. You know, offer the Packers money for the solution. I don't know. I mean, it can't really be a left tackle thing, can it? I mean, he is a professional. I mean, so what if there's some shaking up at center and in left tackle?
Right.
But, I mean, it's, and I know fans hate the phrase pad level. I get it all the time, pad level. But it's pad level. I mean, and how can a fourth-year pro, he's poorly regressed, and he just,
exactly.
You know, pushed around at times.
Well, that's
I'm as frustrated as everybody else is.
I'm sure you are. I guess I won't beat a dead horse because we all know the problems there. Something that came up today when I was twittering away as I do at work. It's really interesting to me, and I'd love to get your take on this. As far as the last two games, both Tampa and Dallas really did a number on the wide receivers with man coverage. I mean, they've been seeing a lot of zone up until this point. But, you know, obviously Tampa runs Jim Bates' press coverage scheme. And you saw a lot of that, not a lot of press, but you saw a lot of man from Dallas. And it really gave the Packers fits. And this is against a receiving unit that was supposedly their strongest, you know, unit, their best area personnel-wise. Are guys just not getting open? I mean, you're at the games. It's impossible to tell on television. You know, even with the benefit of replay, a lot of times you never see all 22. Are guys just not getting open for Rodgers? I mean, I've read about the problems that they seem to be having. What do you think is going on there?
You know, I think it's tied together. Put yourself in the shoes of a defensive coordinator. You know that you can pressure Rodgers with four guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can pressure him quick. So when you can do that, your DBs can creep up and take away all the short stuff because you know the Packers can't throw any long stuff because he doesn't have time.
Right.
So if you can take away the short stuff and you can pressure Rodgers in 2 seconds, how are the receivers supposed to get open?
Right.
I think it boils down to that is they can't protect long enough to threaten them with the deep stuff. So defenses aren't worrying about the deep stuff and they're just jumping all the underneath stuff. That's my best guess.
Well, I mean, it definitely makes sense. Word is we're going to see JerMichael Finley tomorrow at practice. How big a difference do you think Finley's presence is going to make in the offense? Because I don't think it's a big coincidence that his leaving the offense there has really I guess sending things into a spiral is
slowed
a bit,
it down
is a bit much,
down.
But you slowed it down. Yeah, I mean, what do you think that will help anything as far as like opening it up slash you know I guess making the offense look better?
You know, I would certainly think so. I mean, here's a guy who can right up the middle is a guy he can really stress the safeties. I think having Finley back, you would think would open up the running game just a little bit because he'll occupy those safeties. And they'll be maybe just a tick slower getting to Grant or Jackson or Green or whoever. So I think that'll help. And just another guy who can catch a 6-yard pass and maybe turn into 8, 10, or 12. Because goodness knows Donald Lee, God bless him, but he's not going to do that.
Right.
And I like Spencer Hayden as much as anybody else, and he's not going to do it either.
Right, right.
So I think just another guy who can turn something short into something more will help.
Yep. Bill, we got a question from Gorilla Mask Joe. now, do you think...
I thought it was going to be Gorilla Monsoon.
Do you think Brad Jones fits better in the 3-4 than Aaron Campman after one game?
No. You know, I like Brad Jones, and, you know, he didn't do much. I mean, he had a good game, but let's not get carried away.
Right.
If Dallas had any, if the Cowboys had any brains, they'd run Marion Barber at Brad Jones 20 times just to see if he could hold up. God only knows what the Cowboys are thinking there. But you know, Jones, he had one good pressure. Actually, he had two good pressures, but one was on a screen, so that doesn't even count.
Right. They kind of let him in, exactly. You
know, yeah. So I mean, Campman's better against the run, and you know, call me crazy, but I think Campman's done a good job in coverage this year. Never mind the Tampa games, he had a concussion. I think going into that game, he had allowed two catches all year.
Right.
Two catches in eight games.
I think people react to what they see with Campman. He's not the most fluid athlete, and it looks kind of awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone would deny that. So I think that colors people's minds. But you're right. He's been solid in coverage. I think
he's not been a problem.
And Jones looked really fluid and looked really, you know, good. I was shocked actually how well he held the edge, running plays. I thought for sure, exactly like yourself, I thought for sure they'd bowl him over. But I was shocked. I thought he'd do okay, but I didn't think he'd do as well as he did.
Certainly feel better about it, don't you? I mean, with Cantona being a free agent next year, you certainly feel better having Jones, don't you?
Well, precisely. Well, and absolutely. I mean, and you got the guy played the 3-4 at Colorado, so he's got the history there. He knows the defense, at least the base principles. Funny that you bring it up. What do you think? Do you think Campman next year? Obviously, everyone's pegged it. It's a foregone conclusion. He's gone. Do you think he, the most popular opinion is that he gets franchised and traded. Do you think that's in the cards?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Unless Campman, it's up to Campman. I think you owe it to Aaron Campman to ask him what he wants to do. If Campman in the next 7 games shows that, you know, he really, maybe he gets 6 sacks in the next 7 games. We're not talking about any of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Sacks come in bunches. I know that's a cliche too, but even Campman's history.
Absolutely, he has. He's been one of the streakiest players ever, and I was destroyed for pointing that out.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately for the Packers' sake, most of his sacks have come in the first half of the season, not second half. I looked up yesterday. I think in his 3 years, I think 13 of his 37 came in the second half of the season, which is kind of a frightening thing with him only having 2.5 now. But that's your question. Yeah, I think you owe it to Aaron to say, would you like to be traded? And then if he wants to be traded, I think you have to work with him.
And what do you think? I mean, you have locker room access. What do you think? What's your sense? Do you think he wants out?
No, I don't. Does he want out right now? No.
No.
He's a first-class guy, by the way. But I think he's got 2.5 sacks now for a guy who's averaged 12 and whatever over the last 3. You know, he's a good player, and I think he actually does fit this pretty well. I think he's a better 4-3 end.
No, yeah, and I got to agree with that. And he's
not that I'm breaking, I think not breaking any news. But.
I think it's well, and it's an interesting dilemma, I guess you could call it, with someone like Johnny Jolly, who's also slated to be a free agent. You know, what do you do there? I mean, he's the guy's playing lights out. You know, stupid penalty against Minnesota notwithstanding.
Yep.
He was just monster in that Cowboy game. And I know, you know, you look at Corey Williams, who made noise about wanting a contract. You look at, you know, Johnny Jolly, who's playing, like I said, he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's playing. Now, obviously, he's in a contract year, and again, cliches, guys in the contract years, that's when they play their hearts out. But, you know, you cannot deny what he's bringing to the defensive line. Do you think, you know, again, another free agent, Ryan Pickett, what do you think they do there? Do you think they let Jolly walk and, you know, try and re-sign Pickett, who's, you know, 30-something years old? Or do they try and sign the younger guy who's going to want a ton of money?
Well, in the case of Jolly, he's one of those guys who's stuck in the collective bargaining agreement. If there's no CBA extension, then unrestricted free agency goes from 4 years to six. Then he's just a restricted guy. You can keep
Oh, that's right. I forgot Jolly was in that department.
Yeah, so I think they catch a big break there, A, from the cheap money perspective, and B, you don't have to worry about, boy, is Jolly just playing for the money.
Right.
He's not going to get money. So you catch a break both ways there. Totally unlike Thompson to re-sign Ryan Pickett. I would re-sign him. He has been tremendous.
He's been lights out, right?
He doesn't play much because they don't play much base 3-4. But when he's in there, he is just immovable. He's been great. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to keep having B.J. Raji as your rotation guy for next year? If you could do that again, boy, that would be tremendous.
Well, and he's finally come on. What do you think from B.J.? I mean, obviously, he had the injury early on, but you know, last couple games he started to show a little bit, especially against the Cowboys. Do you think they expand that? Do you think he starts coming in a bit more? Does he play a little nose? I mean, I know they've had him at end. What do you see there for Raji?
Yeah, I think he's just going to get more and more snaps. A, because he's playing better, and B, because Jolly and Jenkins have just played so many snaps.
Right.
I mean, boy, even last week they played. Oh, boy, I think I had Jolly for like 50, and Jenkins
That's
were about
insane.
The same.
That's you know, insane.
You want to cut down on that just a little bit. So I think you'll see more Raji because he's earned it, and B, it's better for those other guys.
Well, you know, I hope that is the case, definitely, because like I said, Raji has definitely come on. Well, Bill, you are an insane sport for joining our ragtag group here. Before we let you go, I need two things from you. What's going to happen Sunday against the 49ers, and what's going to happen for the rest of the year record-wise? What do you see in your crystal ball?
Boy.
We don't let you off light here. That's just not how we roll.
Honestly, you guys have – I'll answer the question in a second, but do you guys have any feel for this team? Can you honestly tell me that they're going to beat the 49ers?
It's hard, right? well, they're – you
yeah,
know.
We're 9 weeks into the season, and we have no idea.
Exactly.
It's true.
Which
I'll
is scary if you look at last
one.
Year, too.
Yeah. I'll take the Packers to win this one, and they'll beat Detroit, too, and that gets them to 7-4. And I think they put them at 6-3 in the conference, and they're on the way of that. And they'll win. They have to sweep these just for tiebreaker's sake. But and I think they will. I think they'll get to 7-4, and they'll finish 10-6 and get a wild card spot.
That's my boy.
There we go.
That's my boy.
And Green Bay against Minnesota, wild card.
Easy,
yeah.
Easy there. We don't want none of that. None of that. We don't want any of that.
We're ready. We'll be ready. You never can beat somebody three times in a row in a season.
That's true. All right, Bill Huber, Packer Report, PackerReport.com. Check it out, people.
Check it out.
Unbelievable. Bill, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
It was fun, guys. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Have a great night. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Huber. Unbelievable.
Nice.
Packer beat writers just joining us left and right. I'm sorry, publishers of Packer publications.
Yeah, he's not a beat writer.
No.
He publishes things.
He's a publisher. Who knew that we were so, you know, popular? No one. Nobody.
So should we take a break?
Yeah, well, I guess we'll take a break and kind of,
We'll
be back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you so much for joining us at Packer Transplants Live.
And where do we have to start? But the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Charles Woodson.
Say it with me. Packer MVP.
We got Aaron Rodgers.
Best game of his pro career.
Nick Samurai Barnett.
Unbelievable game, getting better every week.
And we got the bad. We got Mason Crosby.
You know, I should amend this because it's really not Mason's fault. Mason can't make the 52-yarders, but coach keeps trying it.
Tremont Williams.
Okay, for a couple reasons. First, you fumbled. Second, you gave up the shutout.
James Jones.
Dropping the crucial third down pass. Really? Really? A week after I put you in the good because you had a great game? Really?
And you got the ugly. We've got Tony Romo.
Tony freaking Romo. You know, Wisconsin native, coming back, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I never watched Brett Favre growing up. I'm not really a Packer fan. Get the heck out of here. Please. You know, that was his whole line. The whole line last year when they came back for the Sunday night game. That he wasn't really a fan. Are you serious? Give me a break. Whatever. Hey, wait. And before we go, because I almost did it right now, I got to say, where am I? Am I on camera?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. I have to give a heartfelt apology to Aunt Gert, maker of this coaster.
Yeah, you do.
Aunt Gert, I apologize unreservedly for my foul language last week. I'm sorry. We had just lost to an 0-7 team, and I was emotional. It will never happen again. I had to get that out there. I felt so bad afterwards.
We'll see about that.
I'm serious. Literally, not, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, I got
5 minutes off the air, Corey gets an email from Aunt Gert, who's like 1,000 years old, telling how upset she was that I swore on the broadcast.
Yeah, she was proud of me, though.
Oh, she should be proud of you. You're fantastic. I'm an idiot.
She was proud of me.
Aunt Gert, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Will never happen again.
I didn't drop any F-bombs.
No, you didn't. I dropped twice, two of them. I'm so sorry. I was just very upset. Very upset. I'm so sorry. It will never happen again.
Let's talk about things that are never going to happen again, like Mike McCarthy not challenging 3 times. Hey, Mike. You only got 2, bud.
Well, you get a third if you get the first 2 right. You didn't get the first 2 right.
No.
But, speaking of Mike McCarthy, though, how about Nick Barnett giving Mike McCarthy the game ball after the game?
Oh, yeah?
That was pretty fantastic. I mean, you know, obviously a lot went on last week, so much so that it caused me to drop an F-bomb. Twice on the show, but Nick Barnett alluded to it in this presentation, and I think we have it on video.
I think we do too. I'm gonna go ahead and
here
play
we go.
It.
This is from directly after the game.
Coach right here took all the heat for us last week. You know what I'm saying? When it was all us. So I just want to give Coach a game ball.
Just fantastic. How can you not love that? First of all, I love Barnett, like, saying everybody was giving it to McCarthy last week, but it's all on us. And second of all, I love McCarthy saying, but you're still going to work tomorrow. Trying to buy off another day. It ain't gonna happen. But
Mike needs to go to school because he can't count.
Yeah, that was rather unfortunate.
Seriously. One, well, two.
You know who else needs to go to school?
I don't get 3. I do not get it.
Do you know who else needs to go to school? Triplett. How horrible.
Oh, God.
How awful is this guy?
Okay.
How is he still employed?
He's the worst referee in the NFL.
He is so god awful.
He's terrible.
I mean, he doesn't know the rule.
He's a caricature of himself.
He's making it up as he goes. I mean, he's terrible. I don't even fathom how this guy keeps his job.
You know, but hey, you got to love him, though, because without him, we might not have won that game.
Okay. And here's a scary parallel. Go back. Everyone's saying this is the biggest win since last year against the Colts. Go back and watch that Colt game. You know what happened?
We got helped out.
That game? We got helped out a lot by the refs. whole lot of calls went against the old Indianapolis Colts on that Sunday. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
What happened to all the Packer fans that said we're going to lose?
I'd love to hear from some of them.
We're going to have
We had a whole lot. And I'm not talking about the Andrew in Atlanta jokey, like, oh, you know, every time I predict the Packers are going to win, they lose. But there were a whole lot of people who seriously thought the Cowboys were going to come into Lambeau and roll.
And they didn't.
They certainly didn't.
They did not.
Corey and I? Nuh-uh.
Yeah, I had to.
We weren't having that.
I had to give myself some props on the live blog.
You got to give yourself some props.
I was very excited.
Because we had faith, ladies and gentlemen. We had a little faith. That's all I'm talking about.
Yeah, we dare anybody who said that we weren't going to win to call us in the third segment.
We're going to do another
call-in show. Although Aaron, I have to say, Aaron is very apprehensive about doing a call-in show because he's worried no one will call.
I'm pretty sure no one will call.
But here's the thing. Like, after Wayne Larrivee, we've been Larrivee. Nothing else matters. You know,
This is a good point.
We are the
Can't get any more embarrassing.
We are the Wayne's World of Packer fans.
It's true.
So there you go.
Kind of unfortunate, but it's the truth. We kind of are. It is what it is. Packer fans picking against the Pack. I don't know. Cats and dogs definitely living together. Here's a question, Corey. Sunday's game. Does it change your view of McCarthy and Thompson?
Nope.
Do you think the playoffs are a realistic possibility?
Yeah. But I didn't think they weren't unrealistic.
All right.
That's not yet. Good. A lot of ball game left.
A lot of ball game left.
That's
the truth.
That's my favorite saying.
Yeah. It's
because,
pretty fantastic.
You know, it's one of those sayings where you're at Lambeau Field, okay, and it's the end of the third quarter against Minnesota and you're down by 3 scores.
Right.
And
just hypothetical here.
No, it's happened. Okay. I've been there. And it happens to be, or against the Lions, and it's the 10th coldest game in Lambeau history, although now 11th, I think. Mm-hmm. And you're there, and everybody, like, is apprehensive around you, and they're nervous. And all you have to say is, a lot of ball game left.
A lot of ball game left.
And you know what? It calms your nerves.
That is true. I gotta tell you something about a lot of ball game left. Whenever I say that, my wife hits me. She beats me when I say that. Like, you know, when the Packers start, like, falling behind, I'll say, hey, a lot of ball game left. And then I can be assured that there will be a blow on my arm or on my head or something within, like, seconds.
Right.
So, a lot of ball game left. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Love it. So, Dom Capers decided to blitz. Welcome to the game, Dom. I don't know. I just...
Well, wait,
was
it Bedard or you that said it would take 6 games? Because I've lost everything in this whole blog battle. I've lost, like, who said what.
Oh,
so
goodness.
He said it would take the 3, 4, 6 games, and you said a season?
No. Here's what happened. I said they were going to come out of the gate firing, which they did, and then they didn't. Bedard said, and to his credit, this is correct, what he said this summer was that it would take 6 to 8 games for them to settle into the defense, and then a year to really get it.
Got it.
But then Mr. Bedard was all like, I think it was during the game, or maybe it was like Monday, or I can't remember, Sunday afternoon, where he said, who said it would be 6 to 8 games for the defense to get it? And I said, what happened to a year? And he got all upset. He's like, that's BS, like blah, 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 blah. I said, you said it on our show last week.
Wow.
And to his credit, he went and looked it up. And he said I was right. I called him.
Wait,
out
he figured out how to do on demand for our shows.
You know, some people can't.
He's probably the first person to ever do on demand.
Well, it's easy on the blog. He didn't have to go watch the show.
Got it.
He went to the live blog.
Oh, got it.
But this is interesting. Okay, we were talking a little bit before, and I think they were mentioning it on the live blog in the first segment. The Brad Jones Aaron Kampman debate. People, give it a rest. Aaron Kampman's the starter. He's going to be the starter for the rest of the year as long as he's healthy. That's not going to change.
Maybe.
No. That's not going to change.
Maybe.
Why maybe?
Because if he can't get a pass rush, they're going to pull him.
Dude, he gets more of a pass rush than Jones did.
Maybe. We'll see.
That's your answer?
We'll see.
Is that your final answer?
Look, you know the old...
Maybe, and we'll see.
Look.
That's why you come here, ladies and gentlemen.
You know the old cliche?
I know them all. Yeah. Whichever one.
Okay. You know how, like, you can't be replaced because of injury?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not true.
That is not true. We've seen that. But everybody time says again that. In the NFL. Yeah. That's what they tell veterans.
Same thing.
That's what they tell old veterans.
The same thing with what you just said about Kampman. if Campman's not producing, eventually, if we start losing again, they're going to pull him.
Well, here's the thing. Nothing that happened on Sunday would not have happened if Aaron Campman was in there. And this is me. I'm the one who kills cats. I'm the one who wrote a post about Aaron Campman not being as good as his rep, people. And I'm defending Aaron Campman. That's how ridiculous this is. Campman is fine. Is he the best, you know, outside linebacker ever in the 3-4 defense? No.
No.
But he's fine. And he's a great pass rusher.
Slow down. Tone it down.
On third down with his hand in the ground.
Tone it down.
Yeah.
Tone down the
on
great.
On third down with his hand
okay,
in the ground.
Okay, but I'm just saying, take the great and just take it down a couple DBs.
You're right. And I know.
Because he's not great.
He's really good.
He's really good.
Yeah. You're right. I'm just sick of people like, oh, Aaron Campman was out and the defense played well. That's ridiculous. It had nothing to do with Aaron Campman. It had everything to do with Dom Capers. That's all I want to say about that. Sticking on the defensive side, how about that linebacking group in general? Nick Barnett coming to play.
It looked like we had 3-4 linebackers all of a sudden.
Matthews was just off the hook, off the
edge. I'm telling you, and you know, I said this last week, okay, and everybody laughed at me, and Aaron came down on me, was play hating on CM3, okay? Don't do it. I'm already saying he is already worth what we drafted for him. He is everything AJ Hawk wishes he could be.
Easy now. And I thought Bill made a great point.
Look, I'm glad he's here. You know why? Because AJ Hawk can look at Clay and see the football player he would like
to
become.
But that's my point. Don't you think that's kind of what's happening? Look at the last 2 weeks, especially Sunday against the Cowboys. I mean, Hawk is coming with some passion, with some fire. He's firing into the line. I'm just saying.
Hey, I love me some AJ Hawk. I got his jersey. I'm not play a hating on AJ Hawk. I'm just saying AJ is clearly looking at CM3 and being like, whoa. Look, I was the best white boy here, and now I'm not.
Now
that's all I'm saying.
I've been usurped in white boyness. Well, what's interesting is that, and I posted this today over on the old Twitter feed. Why is it Dom Capers felt it okay to unleash the hounds, as it were? I mean, over 50% of the time, he was sending five guys or more.
Well, but do you think that had something to do with the fact that Roy Williams, you know, you watch him on tape, he doesn't really burn anybody.
No,
like,
that's true.
Except for Miles Austin, who, you got to put Tremont in the bad, sneaking up Tremont in the bad on me. Who took out Miles Austin in that game?
Al Harris. Corey doesn't want to hear it, but it's true.
It's not true.
They talked about it. They said the whole game plan was to put Al Harris on Miles Austin.
You go back and look at the tape.
Did you just say that to me?
Yeah.
You did not just say that.
Yes,
to
I just
me.
Said it. I can't believe you put Tremont in the bad. I don't like you.
Dude,
anymore.
He gave up the shutout. He fumbled the ball. That gets you put in the bad category. I'm sorry. I don't care what you did on a punt return against Carolina a year ago.
He had a good game. I'm sorry.
He had a decent game. He also had some horrible plays. Puts you in the bad, my friend. I'm sorry. Good Lord. All of a sudden, I'm offending your golf buddy.
I can't wait till I can put you in the bad.
I'm in the bad perpetually every week. Oh. You don't need to put me there. I live there. Please.
Why you got to hate on Tremont?
I'm not hating on Tremont. I call it as I see it.
I don't enjoy it.
You know, this is typical. You know, I try to be honest. I try to call it like I see it. And whatever person I am anywhere near negative on has to get all upset. Green Bay Press Gazette won't return my emails all of a sudden. Just because I said they might be in, you know, there might be some possible fact to the, you know, the rumor, the hint that people say that when it comes to, you know, the Packers and negative publicity, suddenly the Green Bay Press Gazette is nowhere to be found.
Well, why don't they actually attribute people who write articles? And maybe that would be a good start.
It's interesting. The AP article off the firing of the maintenance worker last week, which we have not talked about. Happened the day after our show last week.
We wanted to get him on. Mike Wood.
Mike Wood's not doing any press.
Yeah, that made a lot of people mad. That was one of those things where you tell other people what happened.
Right.
Okay, and not just our blog commenters of all our lawyers that happen to be reading the blog and putting all their law stuff in. But, you know, a lot of people, even my girlfriend, like, she was up in arms about that. She was like, seriously? That's ridiculous.
What, the firing?
The firing of Mike Wood.
Yeah, but you don't know what he said.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, my gosh. It so matters.
No.
It so matters.
No. It doesn't. You can't get fired for saying one thing one time if you've worked in a company for 20 years. It doesn't matter what you say.
Oh, I could say a lot of stuff, but that would get you fired, but I don't want to offend Anchor. There's a whole lot of stuff you can say to get yourself fired instantaneously.
I guess. There are state labor laws, too.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Anyway.
Here's the thing, though.
We digress.
Here's the point, though, okay?
All right.
To me, here's why it doesn't matter what was said. Clearly, Mike McCarthy was the reason this man was fired, okay? Clearly.
I don't know about
that. It's disingenuous for Mike to turn around in a press conference and say, I don't fire the maintenance guy.
I agree. I wrote as much on the blog.
You don't fire the maintenance guy. But because you talked to his supervisor started talking about it, and they let him go. Now, he probably was already on his way out. We don't know the whole story.
Answer me this. Riddle me this, Batman. Do you honestly think the guy said, go get the guys ready to kick some butt this weekend?
No, I think he probably said, don't lay an egg.
I don't think he said, don't lay an egg. I think he said something much ruder than don't lay an egg.
But why does it matter?
It doesn't matter, but it's disrespectful. And as McCarthy said, you don't say it to a coworker.
I'm sorry. There's these little things.
Especially if you worked somewhere for 20 freaking years.
There's these little things.
Just shut up and do your job.
Okay. If there's this little thing called the First Amendment, and it still exists at your workplace. And you know what? Have a thick skin. You're an NFL coach. You get $2 million. How much money does he get?
But he didn't fire the guy.
Okay. That's so disingenuous.
He didn't. I hate that. Well, you can hate it all you want.
Because that's so not true. He fired the guy. He might have not directly fired him.
He didn't go to anybody, tell Ted Thompson or, you know, Mark Murphy and say, go fire this groundskeeper. He didn't say that.
How do you know that?
I don't. But I'm pretty sure. Just as you're pretty sure the other way.
I think Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. I think Mike McCarthy needs to spend more time on his team and less time dealing with people talking to him.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. You're probably right. I'll agree with that. I'll say his team played pretty well on Sunday.
Yeah, thank God for Jeff Triplett. Come on, seriously.
Whoa, are you saying now Jeff Triplett is the only reason the Packers won that game?
I'm not saying he's the only reason, but let's seriously take a realistic look at last week's game, okay?
Boy.
If we didn't get the fumble there, okay?
Right.
If we didn't get that strip and
it's
that ball's
there. It's still 10-0, and Woodson will still take his head off. I don't worry about that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
If Roy Williams, I mean, it
yeah, if
there's
if.
Maybe
it
yeah,
didn't
but,
happen.
But there's like three or four ifs.
Fine. But let me tell you this. It was 10-0 going into the end of the fourth quarter, and they hadn't scored all day. So you're telling me all of a sudden our defense is just going to melt down and give them 17 points, 13 points. Is that what you're telling me?
No, but they had a lot of drops.
There you go. That's the comeback of the year right there. They had a lot of drops. You're right. They had a lot of drops.
You know, just so people don't start hating on me.
We
although
are
you know
totally
I love
off script,
you know I love it when people hate on me. I'm gonna play my little
this is
our special Cheesehead Nation.
Yes, I can't believe it took us this long to
game
get
day
here.
Picks.
I totally forgot about it. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen. This is so cool that you do this. It's really cool. And I'm just buttering you up now because you hate me.
No, I don't hate you.
You're just hating on me.
I like that. That to me, that's everything. Hey, I'm Mike McCarthy.
Hey,
I'm gonna throw a challenge.
I'm Mike McCarthy. I'm a challenge for the third time. Wait, I like it too. It's fantastic. Wait, while we're watching this, and there's Mr. Barnett looking fantastic after a sack. Someone said he added the bow this week. He didn't add the bow, ladies and gentlemen. He's always done the bow after the samurai. Just so we're clear on this. Let me just say this: Brandon Jackson, who's on the screen right now. No longer. But Brandon Jackson quietly had a great game. Can I just point that out? This guy, not only, and the most obvious thing is the screen that he took for 14 yards, but he was also fantastic in pass protection. Now, as everybody knows, and as Corey has pointed out time and time again, this kid has been terrible in pass protection since he came into the league. especially in training camp, both, you know, 2 years ago, last year, this year, he was phenomenal in pass protection. He was better than Marion Barber in pass protection. So I got to give credit. Brandon Jackson, like, shocked me. He shocked me on Sunday. He came to play. Who would have thunk it?
He didn't shock me because I seriously still think he's going to be the starter at the end of the year. If he can stay healthy, there's no reason he can't.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
That's another big if. I know I got a lot of ifs here.
Well, that's an if I could understand. Like, that's an if, like, okay, yeah, there's a lot of things that could fall into place. But, you know, the whole if on the old Cowboys and the Jeff Triplett thing, I can't get behind that.
It's Jeff Triplett. How many times has Jeff Triplett cost the Packers a game?
Many.
A lot. Many. A lot.
Many. I just think there were a lot of other things that the Packers did that were of greater import than what Jeff Triplett did. That's all. That's just me.
Yeah, I wish I could say that.
And wait, before we waste any more breath on Jeff Triplett, can we just talk about Aaron Rodgers for a second?
Yeah.
And the fact that he had the greatest game he's ever had as a professional football player.
Yes.
Now, I know people will say, oh, but he didn't throw for touchdowns, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the two throws he made on third down in that 80-something yard drive. I think it was 13 plays, something, blah, 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 in the third quarter going into the fourth. That was a quarterback growing up before our eyes. And that was a fantastic drive.
It was
a fantastic game.
It was.
If you look at Romo, look at the turnovers he was responsible for, and then look at Rodgers and the turnovers he didn't have and the plays he managed and the plays he made.
Hey, what was it, 3rd and 14 and 3rd and 11?
3rd and 11 to Jennings, and then 3rd and 14 to Donald Lee. And that throw to Donald Lee was unconscious. That was ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. That was a big-time throw that everybody has been getting on him about not making. The guy's totally covered, and you got to put it right where only your guy can get it. Rodgers stuck it in there. Freaking amazing play.
You know, I felt like, you know, a lot of people were talking about our linebackers, but I felt like, and I did not look at the film, but I felt like our secondary was the reason we were getting a lot of sacks.
I agree.
Because in the time that he had, you know, you kind of, what is the time period where you're like 3 or 4 seconds, yeah, that's a pass rush, and then yeah, anything kind of
past that,
a little past three almost.
Exactly.
He should find three or four,
they should be able to get somebody open. Yeah.
And, you know, there were times where that didn't happen.
No, absolutely. And the thing was, too,
and Tremont is part of the secondary. I just wanted to point that out just so everybody knows that.
Someone's got to go in the bad. And if you make two, not just one, but two bad plays, there's a chance you could be in the bad. I'm sorry. What I find interesting is that, like, at the beginning of the game, Roy Williams caught a smoke pattern out on the periphery of the field, if you will. And he, like, made a move, made Tremont miss, got a first down, blah, 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 blah. And, like, not 2 seconds later, on Twitter, there's a tweet from Brian Caravu saying, Corey, Roy Williams making your boy Tremont look bad. Like, at least I wait till after the game to assess stuff and blah, 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 blah. Caravu was just ramming it down your throat.
Speaking of Caravu,
instantaneously.
Don't we need to call him right now?
No, we're calling him the next segment.
Oh, we're calling him in segment three?
Segment three.
Got it.
You know.
Yeah,
saw
Caribou, that.
He took it to you like,
no,
right
I saw
away.
It.
He couldn't tweet it fast enough.
There isn't.
You're going to stand for that? I didn't see a response. I was like, come on, Corey.
A lot of people hate on Tremont. And I can't.
I don't hate on Tremont.
I can't quench all the haters.
Okay?
I can't do it. I'm only one man here.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I just don't. I don't understand. What do you want from a cornerback? There is not a cornerback in this league, okay? Charles Woodson. Okay, we have two of the best cornerbacks in the league, okay? Do they both get beat on a consistent basis? Yes.
Plays will get made in front of them. Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Tremont is one of those. I am sorry. He is the best third cornerback, number three, on the NFL. 32 teams.
That's a bold statement. I think he's definitely in the top five. I'll say that. I don't think I've watched enough to say that he's the best, but he is very, 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 very good. And I think he will be a good starter.
He's as good as Al Harris was when we traded for him from Philadelphia.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I can say that. He still, you know, he takes a lot of chances, and
that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take chances. What do you think Charles Woodson did on that play where he intercepts the ball in the end zone? He's taking a chance.
I hear you. Well, no. On that play, I'd say he just made a brilliant play. I don't think that's anything about taking a chance there. But he has, and he does.
What if that would have been a pump fake?
You never know. But it wasn't, was it?
No. You don't know.
Another if, ladies and gentlemen. No, but I hear you. You know I love Tremont. Who has loved Tremont along with you more than me?
I hear you.
Come on.
Well, you got to put him in the bad, though.
I'm never going to live this down, am I? I'm never going to live this down.
Was Darren College in the bad?
But he's always bad. Yeah, no, that's like just saying, yeah, like, water is wet.
Like, but you're like, oh, who can go in the bad? And I'm like, well, Darren College. Hello. Alan Barber.
Alan Barber didn't play.
Jarrett Bush. I don't see Jarrett Bush anywhere.
Jarrett Bush had a good game.
Oh, seriously?
Did you watch the game?
Oh, my God.
Jarrett Bush had a good game. I'll say it out loud. This is being recorded for other people to hear, like, later on. I'm telling you, Jarrett Bush had a good game. He actually had decent coverage on, like, every pass that was completed in front of him. I'm just telling you.
No.
Did Jarrett Bush give up the shutout? Oh, no, he didn't. That's right. That was Tremont Williams.
Did we seriously just say on Cheesehead Nation that Jarrett Bush had a good game?
He did.
I quit.
I'm sorry. I just cost Corey his job.
Bye.
I just cost Corey to quit the site, quit the show for good. I'm sorry, but he did. They played the dime extensively, and Bush never got burned. He did. I mean, they completed some.
Never will be.
Now you're just trying to piss me off. Now you're just trying to piss me off.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Hey, do you have that MP3? Let's play it before we go to break. Do you have it, or should we play it next? Do you have it next? Iron Man, who I haven't seen on the live blog tonight because he hates us, even though he's supposedly a staff member here at Cheesehead TV. Whatever. Way to come to work. There he is.
He's here.
There you go.
He was actually agreeing with me about some stuff, which I liked.
Oh, of course. Oh, really? You liked it when he agreed with you? Okay. Shocker of the year.
No, my favorite thing, I revealed it to Brian. My favorite thing is when people talk trash about me. I basically like spend a whole 5 minutes seeing what people the worst things
I'm
people say about
you,
me.
Please, just if you want Corey to read your stuff, talk crap about him. He will obsessively detail every one of them.
Let's listen
while he reads the live blog.
Iron
Man sent this to us, and God bless him. This is fantastic.
Packers crowd the line of scrimmage. Romo on the shotgun. Here's the snap. Romo looking, dumps it off right side. Intercepted! Intercepted at the goal line by Woodson. And there is your dagger! Right through the star of the Dallas Cowboy helmet.
Right through the star of the Dallas Cowboy helmet.
That's,
you know,
nice.
What's fantastic about that? It was great. Is that I came home to that email that Iron Man sent us. And I had just listened to it for the first time because I don't listen to the radio while the game is on. A, remember when we asked Larrivee about, you know, multiple daggers? Because Sunday was a multiple dagger game.
Yeah, it was a multiple.
That was his second dagger.
We actually threw two daggers in the live blog because people were listening to it. And I actually asked them. One of the commenters was like, Larrivee just threw the dagger, and I was confirming it. And then he threw it again. And I'm like, dude.
It was a multiple dagger game, first of all, which is always fantastic. Second of all, I'm listening to, I watched the iTunes highlights on my way home on my iPod, and I heard that, and I was like, oh, that's so great. I gotta record that. I gotta rip that. I come home to an email from Iron Man saying, hey, here's my new ringtone.
Don't you wish your life worked like that?
It did. That's my point.
No, I know, but don't,
I came home.
Like the other things in your life.
Yeah, it'd be nice. But I'm trying not to get down. I'm trying to be up, dude. So Iron Man, you are an absolute legend.
Well,
for sending that?
We know this.
But we knew that already.
Yeah,
we're not like some other websites that call you a Fairweather fan. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
I don't know. Like some Green Bay Bums or Packers Lounge or
somebody
out there called you a Fairweather fan. I don't know. And you still go to those sites. I don't really understand why.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
I was actually.
That's up to you.
Actually,
you know?
We were talking about that in the chat before the game for an hour. Like, everybody would come in and they'd be like, what's going on? And I'd be like, well, I'm still trying to get over the fact that somebody tried to call Iron Man a Fairweather fan.
That's just wrong.
Like, how does that work?
The dude is going to the 49er game, and I hate him in a way that I love him. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. We need to cut you off or something.
Oh. I'm just jealousy. It's just jealousy. Anyway, all right, Iron Man, you're a legend for sending that MP3. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, not only are we going to talk special teams, which I know you've all been waiting for, we're going to talk to Brian Caravu of Railbird Central. We're going to maybe take some calls.
We're going to play some call-ins, and we're going to maybe take some call-ins.
And we're going to preview the 49er game, so stick around. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with your friend and ours, Mr. Brian Caravu of Railbird Central. How are you, Brian?
Very good. Greetings and salutations.
Very good. So, I know you had a post up on Railbird Central earlier. Who is our special teams player of the week?
Well, I guess I can put the poll up here very shortly. Our candidates are Desmond Bishop and Spencer Havener and Tremont Williams and Derek Martin. I guess my vote would be for Spencer Havener with the 4 solo tackles on special teams. And like I said before, holding Patrick Creighton in check for the Cowboys. But we'll see if the rest of Cheesehead Nation agrees with me. I just put it up, and there it's up.
I think there's a direct correlation between when Spencer Havener catches touchdown passes, he makes lots of tackles on special teams. That's just a theory that I just made up. Because you got to think about it. Every time he has, you know, a touchdown, he's a monster on special teams.
He's definitely winning on the poll right now.
And then when he, you know, doesn't catch a touchdown pass, the special teams suck. What's that about?
Found in Idaho just made me laugh, and I'm choking on my beer. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt this. Okay. So in the Cheesehead Nation movie, Rob Schneider gets to play me. Okay, that's funny. I'm laughing. That's hilarious. But then they're like, who should play Aaron? Christopher Walken? Or what was the other one they just came up with? Tobey Maguire. Seriously? I get Rob Schneider, and he gets freaking Tobey Maguire.
And Christopher Walken. I'll take it. Thank you very much.
Okay, we get back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Well, can I just point out that Christopher Walken is from Astoria? He lived in Astoria for a long time. I live in Astoria. It makes sense. It's a perfect, perfect combination. So, Brian, special teams. Okay, so nobody loses their job this week, thank goodness. But what is up with McCarthy continually calling for the 52-yard field goals that we all know Mason Crosby can't make?
Yeah, that is, it's really becoming an issue. You know, it's not even so much the missed field goals. It's giving up the field position afterwards, you know, on those long ones. Well, on any field goal, you know, it goes back to the spot of the kick, not to the line of scrimmage.
Right.
You know, that just adds 7 yards on to it. You know, had they just gone for it on 4th down and not made it, it would be the line of scrimmage.
Right. So you're giving them yardage, basically, even more yardage. Well, it's interesting, yes. Too. They made a big deal about it at the time because I think everyone was shocked. But then as the game went on, it was clear that's the kind of game it was going to be. But you were absolutely right. When they gave the ball away to the Cowboys after the 52-yarder, you know, everyone was like, the announcers on television anyway, were saying how, oh my goodness, the Cowboys are just going to roll now, and they went 3-and-out. Did we just lose Brian?
No, somebody was trying to call in, sorry.
Brian, someone's trying to call while you're calling.
Hey, it might be Nick Barnett. We told him to call in, guys.
It was a 917 number.
Oh, that's New York. New York, you got to wait.
I think it was Keith.
Kids, New York, you got to wait. We're talking to Brian Caravu. We love you. If it's a 920 number, though, Brian, we're hanging up.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. All right. Possibly. So, you know, like you said, the field position was a monster the other way, but the defense stepped up. So, I don't know. Maybe McCarthy had the utmost confidence in his defense, although I was pretty shocked. What did you think? Getting away from special teams, although I know everyone's riveted by special teams week in and week out. What do you think going forward? We got Bill's opinion earlier on. What do you think going into the 49er game? What do you see? You know, is there a continuation? Do we see a continuation of the blitzing, or do we see Dom Jekyll and Hyde Capers pulling things back?
Yeah, based upon what we saw Sunday, I'd like to think that the Packers are going to play better from here on out. You know, they get some winnable games here with the 49ers and the Lions the next 2 games. And I think if they can win those 2, you get a little momentum going into a couple, you know, tougher opponents. And I'd like to think they could make the playoffs. But, you know, Aaron, you've asked me, I think, my prediction for three straight weeks now, and I haven't been able to get a single game right, you know. And
absolutely.
This isn't picking,
so please, this isn't, please tell me you're picking the 49ers this week.
Yes, I mean, this isn't even picking games against the spread. I can't even pick the straight-up winners here. So, sure, I'll just pick the 49ers to win just for the simple fact that they whatever I say doesn't happen. So.
There you go.
All right.
Perfectly. All right, Brian, you're a champ. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you right back here next Tuesday night.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Brian Caribou, Railbird Central. The man, the myth, the legend, telling it like it is. Can I just point out, Fitzcore on the live blog saying Nagler, Romo called, he wants his hat back. Can I just point out, Aaron Rodgers wears this hat too. So, there you go.
Oh.
Who's this?
You were worried about people not wanting to call.
Everybody wants to call.
Here we go, here we go. This is Cheesehead Nation, you're on the line.
Whoa, what's up, man?
What's up? How's it going?
Hey, this is Fitz Nagler.
Fitz Gore, just called you out, son. How you doing, sir?
Hey, man, I'd like to do all Cheesehead Nation a favor, and you go to any Packer selling merchandise place, find me an item number, email it to me. I'm going to buy you any Packers hat you want, brother.
There you go.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Busy. I just, you know, I do have a Packer hat that I wear very rarely, but, you know, I just, I don't know, I love my hat, I love my cap. You don't like
I'm just messing with you, man. You look great in it. But, hey, I just real quick wanted to say I'm one of the guilty guys that I just didn't see us beating Dallas, man. I was disillusioned coming off Tampa and pissed off, but I feel great about being wrong, man. I mean,
that's
I hope
awesome.
We can keep playing like that.
All right.
Absolutely. Hey, what do you think about McCarthy now? Where were you on McCarthy before last week, the last Sunday, and where are you now?
I was pretty down on him after Tampa, man. I've tried to, you know, I've tried to give the guy every chance, and, you know, I just can't, I don't know if he's the guy or not, man. I guess if he takes us to the promised land, he's the guy, but. I don't know. I just don't really see a lot of fire in the dude, but
yeah, I hear you.
If we produce on the field, I don't really care, man.
No
but
doubt.
If you lose the teams that you should beat consistently, dropping games to Tampa Bay, man, you got to win those games if you're ever going to go anywhere. So
that's true. You know, that's true.
Stuff like that happens, but it just can't happen too often without repercussions.
Well, and you look at someone like Andy Reid. I mean, Andy Reid's one of the most well-respected coaches in the NFL, and his team went out to Oakland and lost. You know,
I know.
So it does happen, but you're right. It can't happen too often, or you know, someone's got to pay the price. So I definitely hear you there, definitely.
For sure, but man, I tell you what, I'm excited about our young linebackers. I mean, we got a lot of things looking up, man. We got a good young tight end, great young quarterback. So we got some building blocks.
Definitely.
I mean, if not this year, the future is going to be bright. So
I couldn't agree more. Fitz, thanks so much for calling in, man.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Later.
Have a great night.
All right, so before somebody else calls in, I want to play longtime fan.
Oh, yeah. Long time. This is fantastic.
So nobody call in for 1 second. this is longtime fan calling into our show. I hope he has audio at work, but it's pretty funny.
Hey, this is Jim, a.k.a. longtime fan. All I got to say is, come on, old Packers! My voice is getting pretty raw right now. I've been screaming for the last 20, 30 minutes. I've been jumping up and down. I think I broke my heel, but I am very pumped up. Maybe this is the start of a turnaround for us. Defense played outstanding. What more can you say? Wish the offense could have done some more. The penalties are still pissing me off. They got to get that stuff cleaned up. I know that's a cliche, and I hate to use that word, but they need to start working on that. That is getting ridiculous. But hopefully, maybe now this defense knows what they have to do. Maybe they threw out, I heard that, you know, the defense was overwhelmed with a lot of the stuff that they're not smart enough to handle the full playbook. Maybe they finally realized, let's just give them the base of what they can handle and see what we get. Maybe Chapman was a big Achilles heel for us. Who knows? I don't care. I'm loving it. I'm excited. We got two very, very, very winnable games coming up, and hopefully we get Baltimore at home and we can knock them on their ass like we did the Cowboys. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Woo! That's fantastic. I mean, that's passion right there. Come on now. That's what we're all about here. You're a Cheesehead Nation.
That's right.
Cheesehead TV. Longtime fan. Yeah. And look
there's
at that.
There's people calling the
people
regular
calling
phone.
The house. There's people calling the show. We just can't stop people calling. That's probably like a multi-million dollar job trying to reach Corey.
Not.
And we're doing this podunk show about the Packers.
So yeah, we're taking calls right now. 646-797-2909. And the phone's ringing off the hook here at Cheesehead Nation.
Apparently. Goodness gracious. But while we're waiting, we'll look at a little forward at the 49er game, specifically what the Packers need to do to win. I think, obviously, the Packers can't get complacent. You look at what happened down in Tampa Bay. You can take nobody for granted. You can take no win for granted. A lot of people talking about 7-4. Let's get to 6-4 first, all right? You know, the 49ers have talent. They are not Detroit. They are not Cleveland. And they're not even Tampa Bay, who beat us. Okay, they have one of the most ferocious front sevens on defense that you will see in the National Football League, especially their defensive line. It is no joke. So that's something, you look at the deficiencies on the offensive line for the Packers. You don't have to look very far to see how we could get beat. McCarthy's got to stick to that short passing game. He's got to stick to the three-step drops, the screens, run the ball a little bit, obviously. Although, I got to say, Ryan Grant, I've been down on Ryan Grant for a long time, but he played well. He hit the holes he needed to hit. There wasn't a whole lot called for him, and there wasn't a whole lot there, but he made the yards he needed to make. And I've already talked about Brandon Jackson and the job he did. I'd definitely be looking for Charles Woodson on Vernon Davis, much like he was on Winslow down in Tampa. However, when they're in the red zone, Mr. Capers, could you please keep Woodson on the tight end, the talented tight end, who is their main receiving threat? You saw the one play that Woodson didn't play Winslow. Oh, there's Big B in zone coverage, totally blowing the assignment, and Winslow catching the ball. So let's not have that. I don't want that. I want blanket coverage on their best receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see who they put on Crabtree. Will it be Al Harris? Or will it be one young Tremont Williams?
It doesn't matter who it is, because the secondary's got it covered.
That's true.
The secondary of the Green Bay Packers is not the problem. Well, except for Jarrett Bush.
No. Well, even the last game, Jared Bush had a good game. I'll say it again. I'm not afraid. I don't think I'm going to break anything when I do it. What's funny, though, is that why did it take so long for Capers to come up with, hey, if I blitz, I can play man coverage behind it? Like, that just, I just shocks me.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
These guys are all really good at man coverage, but he, like, insisted on playing so much zone over the first half of the year. I don't know. I'm just.
Belly. I mean, I hear you.
I guess I'm bellyaching.
I think a lot of it is if you blitz, and you don't get there, you're leaving your guys on islands. And even our guys, as good as they are,
Are you saying Tremont Williams can't handle it?
Well, no. I'm saying if you
kidding.
Blitz.
I'm kidding.
If you blitz, you have to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't blitz and then, all my guys are blocked. Awesome.
Yeah, which happened a lot against the Vikings, believe it or not. One other interesting note/storyline this week is the Aaron Rodgers and Smith, the quarterback for the 49ers.
Yes.
Who were both the touted number one picks.
Same number ones.
And then Smith got taken. Rodgers plummeted to number 24 to the Packers, sat for 3 years while Smith's career just derailed. Interestingly enough, earlier this week on Twitter, Bedard shouted down myself and Phil Hanrahan, the author of Life After Favre.
What's that?
For even mentioning it, even for even going there. He's like, oh, there's no answer there. you know, it's apples and oranges. You can't compare them. Well, heaven forbid you should have a discussion on anything. I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
Nobody really, yeah.
He just, you know, it's just like, I was like, I don't need permission to talk about something. It's a great storyline. And plus, not even that, Aaron Rodgers really wanted to be a 49er. He's a California kid. He grew up a 49er fan. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, at least he admits it. Unlike Tony Romo, I grew up in Wisconsin, but I wasn't a Packer fan.
I think he's happier to be a Packer fan than a 49er fan.
I think he is now.
Because you know what? Definitely. I have a lot of 49er fan friends.
We have a mutual acquaintance, old teacher, who's a 49er
fan. Oh, yeah.
Fan.
He's not a Fairweather fan.
No,
but
he's hardcore.
But most of my 49er friends,
right?
Yeah, Fairweather.
Not so much. Yeah, where is Danny Sherman?
Danny
this week?
Sherman. I'll ask him. I'll be like, hey,
Danny. Where is
Danny
Sherman?
He's
this
on
week?
Every commercial on television, okay? Everybody that's watching this would actually know who this guy is. But I asked him about the 49ers 3 days ago, and he's like, oh, I don't know. And it was, they're doing good. I'm invited over to his house when we're playing in the playoffs.
Yeah, right, exactly. But when they're doing poorly, where's Danny? I don't know. Actually, there's a great picture of Corey at the old St. Mark's Ale House. The week I got married, ladies and gentlemen. We played the 49ers that next Sunday, and there's a great shot of Corey and Danny Sherman at the St. Mark's Ale House because that's when the 49ers were doing well.
Yeah.
Now the 49ers suck. Danny Sherman nowhere to be found.
No, and if I invited him over, he would come over, but he wouldn't like it very much.
No.
I'm trying to see. Can we get somebody to call in the show right now?
I told you. What did I tell you?
You know, Andrew in Atlanta jinxed it. He's like, oh, there won't be any problem getting
call-ins. I told you, no one's going to call.
We got one
dude.
Call in.
People have been Twittering to Nick Barnett to call in. Nick's not calling in.
646.
Nick's
oh,
passed
here we go.
Nick's passed
all. You
got
to do is prod him. All you got to do is prod
Nick's
him.
Nick's done.
You're on Cheesehead Nation.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Keith.
Oh, knew it was going to happen.
Keith, what's
Keith.
Up, buddy?
Keith, how's it going?
What's going on, guys? Sorry, I've been having some internet connection issues tonight. So
yeah,
I've been
saw
in
that.
And out.
I saw that on the live blog.
We're all having internet connection issues. It's all right. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good.
Hey,
have
we
a
got
good evening. Enjoying
we got your voicemails, but like, you know, they're like 20 minutes long. We can't play them all. So tell us what you would.
They're a segment into themselves.
They are. We got to come up with like a special Keith like podcast is what we got to do.
Maybe you guys can release like a special features DVD or something.
Absolutely. Like an Easter egg. We got to make it an Easter egg at Cheesehead TV.
There you go.
So, hey, what was your take from Sunday?
Take on this
on the
Sunday?
Team, on the fact that like this team was ready to implode. To, you know, Mike McCarthy was going to get fired. To now, they've won a game and everyone's like, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, it's all about the defense, man. I mean, the defense looks great this past weekend. They're just flying to the ball. A lot of aggression. You know, everyone was ball hawking and converging, you know, to the cat, whoever had the ball. It's really great to see. And I think that was really the key. Really, I mean, the announcers mentioned it, and I actually agree with them. The defense really, I felt like, inspired the entire team. It was pretty incredible. A pretty incredible turnaround.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Although, you did see all the same problems on the offensive side of the ball. As a fan, do you, like, throw stuff at the television? Does that piss you off when they're, like, you know, false starting and holding and all that stuff?
The false start's really annoying me. And the holds will happen, but the false starts to me, there's no excuse for that. I mean, you have a snap count, and there's really no reason for false starts. Although I do think Ryan Grant looks a lot better than he has been looking the last few weeks. I don't know where this burst all of a sudden came from, but he is really getting upfield the last couple of weeks.
Right, that's very true.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mentioned it earlier. Let's lay it out. What happens this Sunday and what happens going forward for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, if the defense keeps playing this way, I don't see any reason why they can't really beat anyone, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I mentioned it in the voicemail. I mean, when the Giants first got Spagnuolo and they put in their new defense, it took them. I mean, they got crushed the first 2 weeks of the season that
right,
year.
Right, right. 40 points and, both weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, if the defense, I mean, the defense, I mean, I think we've said it all along. I mean, the team has talent. They definitely have talent on both sides of the ball. I mean, if the defense keeps playing this with this kind of aggressiveness and keeps making plays, I mean, I anticipate actually if they continue with the blitzing and the way they were playing on Sunday, it could lead to even more turnovers. And it all comes down to the offensive line giving Rodgers some time to throw. And I mean, I don't know if, you know, this is kind of a slight tangent, but I listened to the Stadium Bloom's fantasy podcast, and he on his waiver wire pickup show today mentioned Matt Flynn as a potential lottery pick for fantasy football players because Rodgers.
He's got to stop the hating. That's not going to happen. Come on now.
Come on, dude. Aaron Rodgers takes so much punishment every week. I mean, that hit that I forget who it was in the Cowboys.
I hear you. Off the, I mentioned it during the game. That is the exact same blitz where Rodgers took that hellacious hit that injured Favre in 2007. It's the exact same slot blitz off the edge. So I hear you. But I just don't want to hear that bad mojo vibe coming on my show.
Hey, I'm just trying to keep it real, guys. I mean,
that is true. That is true. You are keeping it real.
It's a huge concern.
It is.
Could that be pinned on Rodgers? Because I remember I read it on your guys' site that McCarthy's giving Rodgers a little bit more responsibility in terms of, you know, making calls and maybe even in protection wise. I mean, is that could be on Rodgers that he didn't, you know, slide the protection over or whatever?
On that particular play, it is on Rodgers. What's interesting is that Favre, after that particular blitz, after he got hurt that week, he says, "That's my guy. I have to account for him." And Rodgers, it's the same way. And you're right. McCarthy did, after the game, intimate that Rodgers had been given a whole lot more responsibility in the protection area as far as the calls and the adjustments at the line pre-snap. That guy, you got to believe, is definitely Rodgers' responsibility. Now, if a 16-year vet like Favre can miss that call, then obviously you're not surprised that Aaron Rodgers is going to miss that call. There are calls where it's designed where especially if you're spreading 3-4 wide receivers, there are going to be, if they choose to blitz, guys are going to come free. And it is on the quarterback to get the ball out of his hand and to know that pressure could come at any time. No matter what the call is, you've got to know where your outlet is. You got to know where your hot read is, and he's got to get the ball out of his hand. And I thought he did a great job later on in the game of doing that.
Right. I was going to say that. I mean, don't you think going forward that this is actually a good thing that he's getting more responsibility? Because
I do. Absolutely, I agree. I think you'll see more of it as the season goes on, and you know. That's what the 49ers bring. They bring pressure. So, like you say, we'll see what happens. Keith, you're a legend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Keith, thank you.
And keep the voicemails coming. We always find gold in there. If I hadn't had a hellacious day at work and a fire drill coming to the studio tonight, we definitely would have cut it up and put it on the show. But thanks so much for calling in. You're a legend and a true fan.
Great. Thanks. It was a lot of fun, guys.
Thanks, Keith.
Keith from Staten Island.
Staten Island. My favorite ever is when he...
Super fan.
What did he say? I hate New York right now. I don't know if we played that last week.
I wanted to ask him about his girlfriend because apparently his girlfriend was giving A-Rod some love.
Oh, that's just fantastic.
Yeah.
How can you not love
She that? Was like, oh, something about like one of the passes. It was the third of 14, I think.
Yeah, to Donald Lee, which was fantastic. So, yeah, 49ers this week. Got to show up. Got to make it 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
Don't go weak. Go strong.
Let's do it.
Let's make it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you big time to Bill Huber. Big time thank you to Styx joining us on the live blog. Join us next week.
Styx was tearing it up. I was watching him on the live blog.
The word is that Harry Sidney will be joining us.
Don't say that.
Next week.
Wow.
That's the rumor. Harry Sidney. So you don't want to miss that. Big time win for the Packers this weekend. That's what we're saying here at Cheesehead TV. Of course, we said that every weekend, but we're not going to mention that. Packers win big. Ladies and gentlemen, see you next Tuesday. Thanks so much for joining us.